I'd like to welcome everyone to Spotlight. Spotlight is a program here on ForThePeople.com in which we interview members of For the People. Today we have a very special guest and who just happens to be having a birthday today, which makes it even more special. Before we get started, I would like to thank Shepherd Boy for recording our program for us today for the purpose of archiving. One announcement, this will be the last Spotlight for the summer. We'll take off the months of July and August and resume back in September. And we hope you'll join us then for more great Spotlight programs. We'll ask that you hold your comments and questions for our guest today until the end of the program, or the end of the interview, I'm sorry. And as always, no text messaging in this room, please. So with that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer to introduce her guest for today. Jennifer?
Hi, everyone. And a very special happy birthday to Bob Tweedy. Bob's been one of our charter members. He's been with us almost from the very beginning. He's been a moderator and very faithful participant on the site. Contributes a lot with his friendship and always willing to help when he can. Bob, I'll let you say hello to everyone, and then we'll get started.
Good afternoon, everyone.
I hope you're having a fantastic birthday. And speaking of which, where and when were you born, Bob? And tell us a little bit about your very early childhood.
I was born here in Wichita, Kansas, on this date. And then 1956, so that way you all can figure out the age. The earliest thing I remember about my childhood, I was born 6 months premature, so I was in an incubator, and for my first 3 years of my life, I could not walk or anything. Until they put me in a brace at the age of 3. But the only thing I remember about those years is falling down the stairs. We lived in an apartment up on the second floor. And for some reason, I just crawled to the stairs and took the elevator down, as they say. Several times I had to go to the hospital. In fact, when I was born, doctors told me I had no chance of living now. I would be a vegetable for the rest of my life.
Well, as all of your friends here on the site know, they were extremely wrong. You're a very bright man. Tell us a little bit about the diagnosis, Bob. I know that you are visually impaired. You have CP. And I'm not even quite sure if you have only one hand or only the use of one hand. And in our pre-interview, you told me you wouldn't mind discussing those issues. So if you'll address that, please.
Okay. My left hand, I got full capable use of it. My right hand, I got limited use. If I take an object that's small and put it in my right hand and wrap my fingers around it, then I can hold something. But it can't be that heavy. Then I got on my leg, my left one. Well, I mean my right one. Sorry about that. It's getting to where I can't put any weight on it. Particularly if I'm getting in or out of a tub. And my left leg, I got full use of it, but I guess you say my left side is okay. I got full use of it, and my right side's where I got the limitation.
I know you've managed to accomplish a lot in your life, Bob, with all those challenges, and it's very admirable. before we get into some of those accomplishments that I know of as an adult. And I always call Bob Tweet. That's my term of affection for Bob. So tell us about siblings and education and just some of your early thoughts, Bob.
Okay, I have 5 sisters and 2 brothers. I'm second to the oldest. And so I come from large family, I guess it was called back then. Imagine now it's still considered large. But my early education was, they tried me in private school. There's a school here in Wichita called Cary. And it's kind of an elementary school for people with disabilities. It didn't work out. They claimed they couldn't handle me because of my limited use of my right hand. For example, when they tried to teach me Braille, they said, well, how can you do it with one hand? I mean, you know, that was the general attitude from what I've been told. But anyway, I started school 3 years late at the Kansas School for the Blind in Kansas City, Kansas. I went through high school in 11 years. I took 2 years in one during my senior year. And that's where I learned to start using the capabilities I do have. And in the second grade, I was taught how to use the backspace on the Braille writer. And they told me as I grew up that you just gonna have to figure your way of doing the job. Let them show you how to do it, then it'd be up to you to figure out a way to do it. Typically, my education was okay. I tried to be on this wrestling team, which was, the doctor didn't like it. The chiropractor I was going to at the time didn't like me trying out for rough contact sports. Even though I had my limitations, I was one of them that loved to play football, wrestle, and things like that. I was on the track team, and even though I wasn't good at it, but I guess my favorite, I was on the bowling team now. That's where I excelled as far as with my motions and all. And so anyway, I was told back in school that I had a good development for listening to people. And I kind of used that to the best of my ability. I learned a lot that way, too. But my high school and all that was just a typical high school. The only 2 classes I didn't excel in was singing and shop.
It sounds like residential school is a very positive influence for you, Bob, and that they were supportive and gave you lots of encouragement. Would you say that's so?
If you want to look at it from that point of view, yes. It's also a negative, which I could get into that, but everybody kind of knows about that in some cases, but as far as the school life goes, yes, it was very positive.
Great. That's not always the case, so I'm glad you had that experience. And you're the star here, Bob. If there's something you want to talk about, you just bring it up as we move along. Is there anything else you want to talk about during this period of your life before we move on to your adult years?
Yes, I do. The only negative thing about going to a blind school, unless you live in the city, the way you can go home is your family life. And a lot of families have routines that they keep, and they keep to this day, but you're still kind of left out because the roots of it was when you was in school, you were left out anyway. And I think it's just an unconscious thing on their part. I don't think it's intentional, but what's the old saying, our sight, our mind? And I didn't, in my family, that's true. I was out of sight, and, you know, so therefore, I was left out, and it's still true today.
Yeah, that's often a sad occurrence for many folks I know, Bob. Well, you've graduated high school, and what happens next, Bob? What did you decide to do with the rest of your life? What did you want to do, and how'd you go about making it happen?
Here's where the frustration comes in. I went to the rehabilitation center in Topeka for 6 months, and I didn't learn a doggone thing because everything I knew was I learned in school, even home ec. I took home ec in school, and I kind of extended on that as I was out there at the center in Topeka. So after that, SOS put me in Wichita Industries for the Blind, which is what they were known then. And I had problems. They wanted a job done their way, and their way to do it. And they would let me figure out my way to do things. And I wrestled with that. And then I met Gwen, which we kind of knew each other during school. But she was a few years ahead of me. And we were married in 78. And I still struggled as far as the work went up until about 81, 82. Then after Melissa was born, she told me to quit work. I was better at keeping the house cleaned and things like that. Taking care of the bills and taking care of Melissa as far as that goes too. But anyway, she decided that they weren't paying me enough because they had me on piece rate. I was making $20 a week on piece rate, and transportation was more expensive. So, you know, just outside of that alone, she told me to take care of the house. So I did that, and I kind of felt bad at first because I wanted to do something. I got more depressed on just sitting around here doing nothing instead of at least trying. But in 89, I tried it again. And they said, oh, you're stupid. SOS told me this, that I was stupid. I couldn't get into computers. Of course, I was still in the old DOS days, and after I got into the internet, I go, how long they would have been. But anyway, so I just sort of got into some hobbies. So that's where my frustrations were actually from 1976. Up until 1990, 91.
Well, Bob, no one can ever doubt that you've always give it your best. And many women would be thrilled to have a health husband. When did Melissa come along and you did have primary responsibility for him, for her during the day, did you not?
Yeah, I did. Melissa was born on March the 3rd and March the 1st, 1981. And during her first year, or maybe her first 6 months, is actually her mother, my mother taking care of her one night, and we take care of her the next, you know. I struggle with sleep, as every mother does, having a child, especially when the days and nights are mixed up. But anyway, yes, I did have the responsibility. I even tried changing the diapers. I did pretty good until she started kicking her legs. And when she did that, you know, trying to do those two as to, I can't remember what they call it, strats there on the sides. Boy, when she kicked her legs, they pulled them apart. That's the only thing I had to have Gwen do. And her medicines, Melissa has cystic fibrosis. So I had this little medicine, it was a spoon. And on dry medicine, she takes it, what they call an enzyme that helps to digest the food. Well, at the time, she didn't want to take it with the capsule. I had to open it and put the granules in a spoon and put a little water in there. I did pretty good. I spilled a few of them, but that was my hardest task. That and the diaper.
I can relate to all of that, Bob, but congratulations to you for playing such an important role in your baby's life, especially with all your challenges. Be very proud of that. Something very exciting happened for you and Gwen a couple months ago. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, we became house owners. We bought a house, and we're adjoining the house. We kind of tried to buy a mobile home back in 89 and 90. And with all Gwen's medical problems, things didn't work out that way. Then about 2 months ago, we decided to check into buying a house. Under FHA for first-time buyers, there's a program where you can get into a house, and that's what we did.
I know that was really exciting. Congratulations on that. Bob, I know one of your hobbies is reading. You read about everything under the sun, don't you?
Yeah, almost, in the fiction anyway. Well, I always have been interested in reading. Ever since 1968, well, before then. I read Braille at school, of course, but in 68 I got on the Talking Bird program, but birds have always been my interest. In fact, I read a lot of historical novels. I go, gee whiz, makes you so cotton picking mad, because there's a lot of stuff you learn that they don't actually teach you in school, and I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, you know, when you learn about it later, and you go back and think about what you learned in school and what you're actually hearing with these authors doing a lot of research, it makes you kind of mad. You're wasting your time with school. I'm not saying school's not good for you, but doggone it, it's just some of the things they teach you in school. But reading has been one of my hobbies. And from 1980 to about 1996 or 1997, I was in the video watching. Well, I would record every movie. I had all the movie networks on cable. And I even had a satellite dish so I could get some of the movies channels that weren't on cable. So I was into all of that until 1997 when I got into the internet.
And I bet that was a wonderful breakthrough in your life, wasn't it?
Yes, because I was still kind of shy at the time. I'll be honest. I guess you say I lived in my own world, not by choice. It was a matter of, you know, I didn't have no one to talk to or anything like that. Of course, I was in the OCB too, and until it started going the way it has. Yeah. I don't care. I don't get offended by much, but I'm kind of old-fashioned in one sandwich bets and liberals in that, and liberal in others. And I feel like public ways should be respected. And this, when the CB got away from that, I said, oh, the heck with that. I don't want to hear this trash. So that's when I got into movies and the internet. I kind of operate the internet and for the people like I did on the CB. It's not only common courtesy, but it's a matter of respect. I mean, you know, so that's how I look at it. It's, you know, I try to treat people that way, and so hopefully I do, and you know, what's the old saying, treat others as you like them to treat you, so that's the way I go by.
Respect is probably one of the most important things we give each other. It's a great starting place. Bob, do you feel for the people has helped you get over some of that shyness you talked about?
Oh, yes. In fact, sometimes on the other hand, I forget the key sometimes, and I keyed out too much, but overall, yes, it has. I mean, you always know there's other blood people out there in the same boat you are, but you really don't know how it is until you talk to one, you know? And the thing was, for the people who has never done this, but, you know, if you don't know anything, you're kind of proud upon like, oh, well, you know, why we want to talk to you. Well, it's about anything. And I learned to keep my mouth shut. I still do that if I don't know anything. But I'm talking about even if you do try to socialize. We kind of learned in school that the counselors, for example, would talk behind our backs. And I tell you what, when you have years of mistrust, it's kind of hard to open up. And that was one of my goals that for the people did. They kind of opened me up a little bit because I knew there wasn't going to be no backstabbing.
Yeah, I'd say you become a regular little chatterbox. Well, Bob, we've been talking now for about a half an hour. And again, I want to thank you for all the hours and effort and energy you put in for the people, moderating and being part of the management team. And absolutely want to say happy birthday again. And I want to give you a chance to have any parting words you have for us before we open it for questions.
Okay, for those of you that are new, that are kind of shy to the internet, just be yourself, especially on this site. I'm speaking officially for the site as well as for myself. Be yourself, and don't worry about what people think. You know, I feel like this way. If you want people to really know you, you got to be yourself. I found out that putting on false pretenses kind of hurts in the end. Because you try to go by what people want you to be. It's not what you want to be. So just be yourself and have fun.
Well, that's great advice, Bob. Some people are good at being themselves and they get their names changed. But it's very good advice. All right, anyone have questions for Bob?
I may not have been here for this part of the this part of the interview, but how long have you been on For the People, Bob? Have you, how many years has it been? Has it been years?
Oh, yes, it's been years. I think it was the second or third day at For the People when I joined. I signed in as, and see, I heard about it in an email, as a matter of fact, and I joined the second day. In fact, I didn't even know it was the second day officially for the people. I just went to the website and said, hey, this is cool. Of course, at that time, I didn't have a microphone. So the next day, I went and got one.
And he was shy in the beginning. I had to pull questions out of him, but we got him talking, and he got unshy real quick.
Yeah, I have to say that I thoroughly agree with you, Bob, on the advice that you gave about people being themselves. And I've been to several institutions for the blind, getting guide dogs and going through other types of training. And the worst mistake that I've seen people make is to go in and act differently than they really are, because then it makes it more difficult for the people to make an assessment and help them along and do things that they need to do. So that was an excellent point you made.
Well, I'm not talking about, rudeness or anything like that, because this be your everyday self. I mean, don't go by what people want you to be. And I will say For the People has rooms for everybody to be themselves.
Any other questions for Bob?
Do not go.
Well, this isn't a question, but I would like to tell Bob thank you so much for your interview. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And me being the quiet, shy person that I normally am, I understand where you're coming from. And Bob, it's been a great interview, and I thank you very much. And by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's been an enjoyable experience, and I'd like to thank Jennifer for inviting me on. It's about time I'm able to pay back For the People for what they have done for me.
If I can chime in for just a minute, Bob. I just want to say that, boy, I sure do feel proud to know you. And as far as diapering goes, for a guy who was fully sighted, had both his hands and arms full use of, how the hell you did it, I don't know. I was not very good at it myself, especially when my son gave me my first shower. I think you know what I mean. Well, no, you had a girl. You wouldn't understand that, maybe. But anyways, this Wednesday, take my hat off to you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. It's off me to explain how I do things. I mean, I do it without thinking about it. It's because unconscious. Okay, I got to do it this way. I got to do it that way. And, people have asked me, how you do this, how you do that. It's hard to explain. I mean, you can explain how you do it, but as far as getting them to understand how you do it, that's another thing. So I don't think of it as extraordinary. It's just something you have to do.
Well, you're right, Bob, and all of us just as folks who only have blindness to contend with, pretty much are in the same boat as you're talking about, but with all your extra challenges, I think you've been a very courageous and plucky man, and again, that garners a lot of admiration, so congrats again.
And it's quite clear, Bob, that you don't give up easy. I bet when you try something that doesn't work one way, you try another way until you get it done, right?
Yes, I do, Jock, I certainly do that. The old Boy Scout motto is, if you don't succeed, try and try again, or something to that effect. So I always go by that. It gets frustrating. It's almost, I compare that like to looking for something. If you lost something, you're not going to quit until you find it. Well, I'm the same way about, I'm not going to quit until I find a way to do it. By hook or crook.
Hi, Bob. This is Hallie. I don't know, I don't think this was mentioned in the interview, but how did you find For the People? I'm always interested to know that.
I think that was in one of my answers. I don't remember, but I think I was on the blind list. And back then, I didn't know anything about computers. So I figured it was voice chatting. And anyway, I heard about For the People doing email. In fact, if I remember right, there was ACB radios. Email list.
That's interesting, because I wasn't even aware at the time that the messages were out there, but we're glad you found us, Bob.
That was a great interview, Bob. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and like you, I also heard about For the People on, actually, I heard Jennifer's interview on ACB radio, and it was a fortunate day for me as well. And admire all your stick-to-itiveness. Boy, you have had a lot of challenges, and you just sort of met them all head-on, it sounds like to me. And you've certainly helped me in several spots I've gotten into with my computer, so you're pretty knowledgeable about, you've learned a lot about that computer, that's for sure. And happy birthday.
Thank you, Becky. I know a little bit, I mean, if it's minor. But, like I said, if I don't know anything, I'm not going to speak up. And one other thing I wanted to add, I said, no matter how you're frustrating your challenges are, or people put you down, don't be bitter. Just look at it one day at a time. Yesterday was yesterday, today's today, and tomorrow's tomorrow. I never try to have any bitterness about the way life has treated me. And I think that's the big thing I have learned to kind of shrug it off. Disappointments, you could be disappointed for a little while, depending on the challenge. But just don't be bitter about it all the time. Just, yeah, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just continue on.
Thank you, Bob. I think that's a good place to wrap up today. That's a great words of wisdom there from somebody who certainly knows as well as all of us. Thanks, everybody, for coming to Spotlight today, and we hope that you'll join us back here in September when we'll have lots more folks in the Spotlight.
Thank you for having me, and now it's cigarette time. I may be listening, but after going through all of that, I need one.
You did great, Bob. And Becky, they wrote a song about that, didn't they, see you in September?
I should have played it, huh? Oh, boy, yeah, you did great, did a great job, Bob.